Good morning, and welcome to another day of with Bible as we go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18. Again, today's scripture is Ezekiel chapter 18. And before we begin reading, let me pray for us and ask the Lord to bless our time together. Father, thank you for this time as we gather as one family and reflect on your perfect word. I pray that this word will encourage us, challenge us, and bless us. Lord, as you have written every single word in your book, according to your love, your wisdom, and your grace, Lord, I pray that we will continue to be your people and be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you people mean by quoting this proverb about the land of Israel? The parents eat sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, you will no longer quote this proverb in Israel. For everyone belongs to me, the parents as well as the child, both alike belong to me. The one who sins is the one who will die. Suppose there is a righteous man who does what is just and right. He does not eat at the mountain shrines or looks to the idols of Israel. He does not defile his neighbor's wife or have sexual relations with a woman during her period. He does not oppress anyone, but returns what he took in pledges for a loan. He does not commit robbery, but gives his food to the hungry and provides clothing for the naked. He does not lend to them at interest or take a profit from them. He withholds his hand from doing wrong and judges fairly between two parties. He follows my decrees and faithfully keeps my laws. That man is righteous. He will surely live, declares the sovereign Lord. Suppose he has a violent son who sheds blood or does any of these other things, though the father has done none of them. He eats at the mountain shrines. He defiles his neighbor's wife. He oppresses the poor and the needy. He commits robbery. He does not return what he took in pledge. He looks to the idols. He does detestable things. He lends in interest and takes a profit. Will such a man live? He will not, because he has done all these detestable things. He is to be put to death. His blood will be on his own head. But suppose his son has a son who sees all the sins his father commits, and though he sees them, he does not do such things. He does not eat the mountain shrines or looks to the idols of Israel. He does not defile his neighbor's wife. He does not oppress anyone or require a pledge for a loan. He does not commit adultery, but gives his food to the hungry and provides clothing for the naked. He withholds his hands from mistreating the poor and takes no interest in or profit from them. He keeps my laws and follows my decrees. He will not die for his father's sin. He will surely live. But his father will die for his own sin because he practiced extortion, robbed his brother, and did what was wrong among his people. Yet you ask, why does a son not share the guilt of his father, since the son has done what is just and right and has been careful to keep all my decrees? He will surely live. The one who sins is the one who will die. The child will not share the guilt of the parent, nor will the parent share the guilt of the child. The righteousness of the righteous will be credited to them, and the wickedness of the wicked will be charged against them. But if a wicked person turns away from all the sins they have committed and keeps all my decrees and does what is just and right, that person will surely live. They will not die. None of the offenses they have committed will be remembered against them. Because of righteous things they have done, they will live. Do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the sovereign Lord? Rather, am I not pleased when they turn from their ways and live? But if a righteous person turns from their righteousness and commits sin and does the same detestable things the wicked person does, will they live? None of the righteous things that person has done will be remembered because of the unfaithfulness they are guilty of, and because of the sins they have committed, they will die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear you, Israelites, is my way unjust? Is it not your ways that are unjust? If a righteous person turns from their righteousness and commits sin, they will die for it. Because of the sin they have committed, they will die. But if the wicked person turns away from the wickedness they have committed and does what is just and right, they will save their life because they consider all the offenses they have committed and turn away from them. That person will surely live. They will not die. Yet the Israelites say, the way of the Lord is not just. Are my ways unjust, people of Israel? Is it not your ways that are unjust? Therefore, you Israelites, I will judge each of you according to your own ways, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent, turn away from your offenses, then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed, and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, people of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Sovereign Lord. Repent and live. Amen. Repentance is such a important part of Christian faith, and for a lot of young people especially, think repentance is one of those like guilt-tripping, guilt-driven, miserable experience with tears and agony and things like that. But repentance is life-saving practice. It's a life-altering practice. It is life-transforming practice that we all get to do together. Not because we need to earn our ways back to the Lord, but we need to remind ourselves that God is indeed good. And we have to be close to Him. That in some ways we have rejected what God has decreed. In some ways we have turned from God to pursue evil. Therefore we have to repent and run to the Lord. So the beauty of this passage is this. God is basically telling us, listen. For all your sins, turn away from it. Turn to righteous. Although you have sinned in your life, if you turn away from your wicked ways and return to me, I will forgive you. And I don't enjoy bringing wrath and bringing justice over those who sin. I do not delight in the death of anybody. Repent and live. That's what he says in the closing remarks, the closing verse of this chapter. I really hope and pray that repentance will be a common practice, a recurring practice for us believers. Not because, again, we need to pound our chest and guilt trip ourselves and in shame just crawl back to the Lord. No. Because we have forgotten the delight of being in God's house. Because we need to remind ourselves who we are and who we belong to. Because we have to return to God. Not because God has told us we have to, but because He wants to share in this love and fellowship with us, and sin actually separates us from what we can experience from God, what God has promised, what God has blessed. So this is my prayer. My prayer is that today we will spend some time in repentance. The things that we should have done, but we did not do. Things that we were not supposed to do, yet we did. Things of omission and commission. I pray that through your repentance, you'll have the restoration of joy, restoration hope, restoration of reminder that you are indeed safe. The sins that we have committed are already washed clean by the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ, by what He has done on the cross and what He has shown as He was resurrected from the dead. I hope and pray that our repentance will be a joyful act, not a miserable one or a shameful one, because it is a reminder that God will forgive our sins. God has already forgiven our sins. And most importantly, God welcomes us home in love. So that is my blessing to you tonight. God bless you, and I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Let's pray. Father, remind us that as we are forgiven, as we have been forgiven by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done on the cross and in Resurrection Day, Lord, I pray that our repentance will be more than just an act of prayer, but actually transformation of the heart. God, continue to impress us and continue to remind us, Lord God, how amazing Your love is, how much You desire Your people to return home. Lord, I pray that we'll answer that call and continue to return to You in the moments of sin, in the moments of brokenness. So God, as You have said here, that when we turn away from our wicked ways and pursue righteousness, the very righteousness that Jesus Christ has won for us, You will not remember our sins and bless us and forgive us. God, we know that promise to be true. Let us live according to that. reality. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.